So ladies, please sign up if you haven't. And if you have questions, please see my darling wife. All right, Young Adults Workday and Fellowship at Camp Benaiah, 15th through 17th of May. If you have any questions, please see me or Matt Phelan. And then Family Focus Weekend is Friday the 12th through Sunday the 14th of June. And just in case you're saying, what in the world is that? Well, I think the family is very important. And it's just good for us to be reminded of the fact that we need to be loving one another and supporting one another and having Christ first in our families. And so that will begin on Friday night. At this point, I'm hoping to start around 6:30. We'll have one service, 6:30 to 7:30. Go next door for anyone that would like to stay. Have some refreshments and a game. It won't be a hard game, but for anyone that would like to stay. And then we'll do Saturday. We'll be done by midday. That way you have your Saturday. And then on the Sunday, it'll be during Sunday school, the worship service, and then 5:30. And so just keep that in mind, and it'll be different messages. Pastor Kevin Curl, he's been in ministry a long time. He and his wife Sandy have been married a long time, and so I'm looking forward to their ministry to us. So I hope that will be a help to us. All right, prayer request. Pray for Thomas. Good news, he did have some improvement with his blood, but continue to pray for that situation. Pray for Kareth, that the Lord helps her to continue to get better. Pray for Evelyn. She has a surgery this week on Wednesday. So pray for Evelyn. And then pray for those that aren't well today and for those that are away. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then after that, we will receive our offering. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for the songs that we've sung, the word that was read to us. Thank you that we can rejoice in the Lord. No matter what's going on, we can rejoice in you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your kindness. We pray, Father, that you would minister to the needs of each heart. I'm so glad that although we come from a range of backgrounds, different ages and needs, that you take your word and can speak to our hearts. So Father, would you please do that? And anyone that's here that does not know Jesus as Savior, would you please draw them to yourself? Would you please save them? How wonderful it would be to leave church today and know that you know Christ as Savior. I pray that you would speak to hearts. And Lord, we ask that you'd give much wisdom for those that need wisdom, for courage and strength, for humility, whatever our needs are, Father, that you would help us to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, that we would be more like him every day. I pray for Thomas, Lord, that you would undertake for him and the blood test and his health, that you would give the doctors wisdom and help with his health needs. We pray, Father, that you would be with Evelyn as she has her surgery on Wednesday, that you would guide the doctor's hands, give much wisdom there. And we ask that for our unspoken request, that you would meet each need. Thank you for your faithfulness, and Lord, we know the Lord Jesus could come at any time. And Lord, help us to be about your business. Help us to, not that we're trying to earn our way or work our way to heaven, but that we would be faithful, sharing Christ with others and looking to you. We pray that you would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wonderful. Thanks, everyone. Our final hymn this morning before the message is number 100, O Come All Ye Faithful. If you could all stand, we're going to do all three verses of that hymn. Thank you. Thanks very much, everyone. You may be seated, children. You're now dismissed, and we'll now have the message. Thank you.
Oh, come, all ye faithful. Why in the world did we sing a Christmas song? This morning, we'll be looking at that in a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's been great to have Steve Wood around with us for a few days, and he'll be back in June or July. But it's good to have Steve around, praying for Steve as he goes back to Sydney. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One writer said, did you notice the shortness of a lot of the verses? The shortness of a lot of the verses in that were in our memory verse. One writer reckoned it was because Paul was running out of parchment. He was running out of places to write things, and so he got the verses shorter and shorter. Well, I don't know about all that, but anyway, they do get a little bit shorter toward the end. But our memory verses today and this month are very, very valuable to know. And if you do not have those in your memory bank already, I hope that they will, that you will deposit, that you will do that. You will memorize these with us. Such important verses that we will be looking at this morning. And there's not a lot of hard explaining about them. It's just more about doing them. Let's begin reading in verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none to render evil for evil unto any man. Are you thinking of someone that you could render evil to? See that none render evil to no one, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And then our last verse, brethren, pray for us. This morning, I want us to look at these verses together. And I need to make a correction from last week. Nick Vujicic is alive, okay? Not because I said that, but he is alive, okay? So I was wrong in saying that he had passed away. I think two of the articles that I read, and they said people gave glowing comments about him and all, and I said, wowee, well, he's alive, okay? So just wanted to correct myself and let you know that I was wrong there. Our May memory verses are 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. And they are, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now these verses are wonderful verses, and you know, and I remembered as I first got to the rejoice evermore one. Really? The Lord wants us rejoicing evermore? But just some details about this passage. First of all, the theme of 1 Thessalonians is faithfulness to the Lord and love to others because God has done so much for us and because he will come again. And these things are supposed to give both comfort and rebuke and encouragement to us to keep on keeping on. And for those that don't know Christ as Savior, to come to him as Savior. These commands are in the Greek present tense. And when I say that, that just means that they are something that he wants us, that Paul says, rejoice. I want you to be rejoicing right now, and I want you to keep rejoicing. That's something that you need to be doing every time. Just rejoice, pray, give thanks. Let this be something. And even if this did not describe you yesterday, even if you were a person who never, as one of God's children, you didn't pray very much, be one that prays. If you were a grump and you go around with a grumpy face, I hope these verses remind you to be cheerful in the Lord. And then if you're not a thankful person, that these verses will remind us that we need to be thankful. They are something that the Lord, and he's not giving us a guilt trip. He does want us to change if we need change. And then these are commands of extremity. A couple of times it says, well, I'll just read to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 says, love one another. No, that's lie not one to another. That's Colossians 3:9. It says, lie not one to another. 1 John 4:7 says, love one another. Well, these verses, they just go over the top. They say, always rejoice evermore. Not just occasionally, but rejoice evermore. Be praying always. In everything, give thanks. There's this extremity about this that's not just halfway. It's something that the Lord wants us to incorporate into our lives. These commands are for those who are believers, who are in Christ Jesus. He ends the three verses, these three that go together well. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Those that know Christ, those that are believers, those that are followers of Jesus, these things should be what our lives are about. For some of them, they should characterize us. We looked at our Christmas song this morning. More than one person asked, why are we singing a Christmas song this morning? Well, do you notice at the birth of Jesus how joyful people were and the angels were and in heaven? Oh, come all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. What does exultation mean? It means rejoicingly. It means with cheer, with happiness. Jesus is born! Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. Why is it that Paul exhorts us to rejoice evermore? Because we have a Savior who came, who died on the cross, who arose, and who's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. We have so much to be thankful for. Now, I know you could probably give me a list of things that, okay, well, I've got this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. Okay. But we serve a Savior who is exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's just there. So the first thing I want us to look at, well, the key is just listening to the Holy Spirit. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having to receive the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. When the Lord moves in, He can give us the strength we need. He can give us the strength that we need to rejoice and to follow Him. And then the last thing I wanted you to notice, that these commands are His will for us to do. For these are the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God wants us. God wants us to be rejoicing. God wants us to be praying. God wants us to be a thankful people. So let's look at this a little bit better, a little bit more intent. And we begin with rejoicing evermore. And I labeled this first point, the first command, I labeled it the seeming impossible but possible command. The seeming impossible but possible command. Paul is exhorting us to be cheerful forevermore, always. In fact, the word means, as you go through life, let your default attitude be cheerfulness, be happy. Let that be what you come back to. Really? Did you ever, when you were growing up, now I realize not every situation is like this. If I was being grumpy at home, there were times when my mom would say, give me a smile. Come on, Kelly, smile. And I realized this wouldn't work with everyone. It worked with me. But she'd say, come on, Kelly, smile. And eventually I'd give this sort of smile growl. You know, this little, And then it would make me laugh because I looked so stupid doing what I was doing. I felt stupid. And you know what? When we read this, though, we think, Paul, are you serious? You want us to be characterized by cheerfulness, by happiness. You really do? Now, I realize there's things that happen in most of our lives that anyone would be happy about. You get good news, or things are going okay. You get a good report on a health check. You find out good news happened with your family. Things go well at school, at uni, work. You know, anyone can be happy about those things. We know Paul is not just writing to people where when he says rejoice forevermore, and let me mention, the evermore part gives the idea of being completely happy, and whatever goes forward, happy. So as you're facing whatever circumstance, be cheerful, knowing that the Lord is there. Our song that we sung, one of the songs we sung this morning, oh, rejoice in the Lord. No matter whether we're at home and whether things are really good or not, we can have a happy heart. When we're going through trials and we're going through dark times and times that we don't know, we can still be happy in trusting the Lord. At work, time and time again, this word is used to introduce us to where Jesus was going next. So wherever you're going next, that's where the Lord wants you to be rejoicing. And then again, we shrug our shoulders and we say, really? And the answer is, yes, really. Because he was talking to people, he was writing to people who had experienced difficulties. He says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, and having received the word in much affliction. These tests, these pressures, these problems that you've been facing, keep your joy, because the Lord enables you to have that joy. The next chapter he talks about, for ye, brethren, became followers of the church of God, which is in Judea, are in Christ Jesus, for whom you've suffered like things of your own countrymen, and even as they have of the Jews. These guys are not people that don't have any problems. And yet, Paul is saying, rejoice. The next chapter again, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You know what? You know you're going to have problems in this world. We will have tribulation, Jesus said. But yet, even when Paul was in prison, I always want to start singing every time I read that verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice because it's a little song that goes exactly like that. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul was in prison. Paul was not a free man, yet he knew the Lord had him exactly where he wanted him, and he said, you know what? I'm rejoicing. I'm happy to be wherever the Lord has me. It's not to say that things are always difficult. In fact, Peter talking to the believers in 1 Peter chapter 1 who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, that though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter's not being unreal. Paul is not being unreal when they're telling us to, be happy, be glad, keep going forward, keep trusting. They recognize that there's problems, there's difficulties, there's tests. Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, and whom though you have seen him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is Peter recognizing that they go through trials, that they were in times of heaviness. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. If we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior, Paul sums it up nicely. You know, in those verses where it says, and all things work together for them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, later on he says, well, if God be for us, who can be against us? So whatever it is, whether it's at home or at work or at school, whatever the Lord is allowing, He's in control. And we can trust Him with it. So the first thing I want to mention to you this morning is that the first command is to rejoice. That doesn't mean that we go around with a fake smile. That we have a smile from deep down saying, you know what, Lord, if there are problems, if there's things going on, I'm going to let you help me with them. I don't know. We'll look at that in just a minute. One of the commentaries I was reading, he was on the way home from a conference that he was in. For whatever reason, he was in a grumpy mood. And I don't know if it's like this. I know if I come home grumpy, it affects the rest of the house. Your house is probably that way too. If somebody's grumpy at home or you come home grumpy, grumpiness just sort of ebbs. It just sort of spreads. And you know what? He knew that. And he started reading his Bible and he came to these verses. Rejoice evermore. And the Lord rebuked him and he started looking up the verses about being joyful. Even in difficulties, even in trials, even in hardships, don't let the bad make us grumpiness. He repented. He changed his heart. When he got home, he was much more kind to his family. So the first command is to rejoice evermore. Second command this morning is to pray without ceasing. And this is the seemingly impractical but practical command. Does the Lord want us? When we're at school, man, wouldn't this be convenient? You guys are in school. Or at work, you're at work. You don't have to hold your hands up. But we'll hold our hands up. I'm at work. Teacher comes by. Kelly, what are you doing? Well, I'm supposed to be praying without ceasing. That's what the Bible says. So I'll check with you after I'm finished. Or at work, you try that. I'll get back to you when I'm done. So this seems impractical. How is it in the world that we can pray without ceasing? The word without ceasing is a different word than the evermore word. The ceasing gives the idea of take it with you. No matter what circumstance you're in, be sure you've got prayer there, that you are praying. Now we know Scripture encourages us to be praying. And by the way, I'm not trying to beat you over the head with this morning. If you haven't been praying, if you haven't been making prayer, if you're one of God's people and you're not making prayer an important part of your day, Paul gets beside us and says, you need to be praying. Jesus said, he spake this parable unto them and to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus modeled that. He constantly was praying before big decisions, before ministry, before the day started. What does it mean to pray night and day, or to pray without ceasing? We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in prayer, remembering without ceasing, same word, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus. So it's the same word. You're doing something. You're praying without ceasing. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, again, because when you received the word of God, when you heard it, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God. So again, they prayed without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 3:10 gives us the idea, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. Praying without ceasing means praying not just during our devotional times. It means having it as natural to us as breathing. Well, we could say, but really, we only pray when we need to depend on God. That's what prayer is, someone said. It's talking to God, but it's also showing our dependence on God. Well, is there a time in our lives, in our day, that we don't need the Lord? The answer to that is no. There's not a time. But being able to call out. I remember being in grade 10 in drafting class. I'd just been saved not too long earlier than that, and I was having a rough morning. And I remember going to the, we called them bathrooms back then in America. I went to the bathroom during drafting class. And I just talked to the Lord. I talked to the Lord for a little bit. You know, it's amazing what during the day, if you're at school or if you're at work or if you're at home, if you're out and about at the shops, something happens, something doesn't happen that you were expecting to happen. Isn't it wonderful that we can go into His presence? And that word to pray is the word that's only used in talking to God. There's other words that you can pray, you can ask someone else to do something. Well, this has the idea of talking only to God, and it includes the idea of worshiping, showing His worth. Well, when we pray, we're showing our dependence on Him, and we're showing Him our worth to us. Time and time again in Scripture, we are to pray. Jude says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we pray for personal needs. We pray for things that we need the Lord to work in our hearts about. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mary Slessor said this, "My life is one long, daily, hourly record of answered prayer for physical health, for mental overstrain, for guidance given marvelously, for errors and dangers averted, for enmity to the gospel subdued, for food provided in the exact hour needed, for everything that goes to make up life and my poor service, I can testify with a full and often wonder-stricken awe that I believe God answers prayer." And then prayer for others. "He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." And then 1 Thessalonians 5:25. We're wanting the Lord's will to be done. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:25. We read this. He says, brothers, pray for us. Lord, please, you know, pray for one another. Paul is saying, please, keep us in your prayers. And as I was thinking on this, Colossians 1:20 says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Some of the greatest work that we can do is to pray. And I'll tell you, really, for us that are getting a little bit older, we need to learn, if we don't know how to pray now, we need to be learning how to pray now, because as our bodies age, we're not going to be able to help others in a lot of other ways, maybe. But we can always help through prayer. We can always hold others up through prayer. I remember going home from work one day, and it was ice and snow, and I had an hour ahead of me to drive. My little Dodge Omni that I had, it was red. It was the one that had the windshield wiper in the rear. Well, it was getting old, and it was getting hot. And I ended up, the traffic was so slow that my car started overheating. Well, I began praying, "Lord, please help me to find a place to be able to pull over so I can let my car cool down so I can keep going." Well, all of a sudden, traffic started going, and I was able to get it up, and it was able to keep the engine cool, and I was able to get home. Well, I get home, and my brother calls me. He says, "Man, you okay?" Didn't have mobile phones back then. I said, "Yep." I said, "I just got home from work." He says, "Well, I was praying for you." And you know, it really does matter. Some of the greatest work, I think of Hudson Taylor's mom. I think of Charles Spurgeon's mom. I think of John Newton's mom. Some of them prayed and did not see the results of their prayers before they died. But they still prayed for their kids to be saved. They still prayed for their kids to follow the Lord and to give their lives to Him. Let me ask you something. Are you praying for those in your family? Are you praying for people in your church family? Are you praying for your mom, your dad, your children, your spouse? Some of the greatest work that we can do is to pray for others. Catherine Marshall, she was born 1914, I think, and died in 1983. But she was a teenager. She was a Christian author and pastor's wife. When she was a teenager, she wanted to go to university. And the time that she wanted to go to university, it was a depression. There wasn't much money around, and you had to have the monies up front to pay for the university degree, or you had to exactly know where it was going to come from. Well, she wanted to go to uni to learn about writing and to use her life for the Lord. And we'll begin reading. One evening, Mother found me laying across my bed, face down, sobbing. She sat down beside me. "You and I are going to pray about this," she said quietly. We went into the guest room and knelt beside the old-fashioned golden oak bed, the one that Mom and Father had bought for their first home. "I know it's right for you to go to college," that's uni, Mother said. "I believe God planted this dream in you. Let's ask Him to tell us how to bring it to reality." During those quiet moments in the bedroom, confidence and fresh determination flowed in. Mom's faith was contagious. The answer would come how we did not know. I went ahead and made preparations for Agnes Scott College, uni. Short time later, Mom received an offer from the Federal Writers Project to write the history of the county. Her salary was enough to pay for the major part of my college expenses. Us praying with our kids, us praying for our children. You know what? Let's let our children hear us pray. If we're not comfortable with praying, let's become more in comfort. And you know what? It's just a matter of talking with the Lord. Praying with, praying for our children, praying for our spouse, praying for those that we don't get along with. I hope you do that. I hope you do pray. If someone annoys you to no end, I hope you pray for them like this. "Lord, will you please help them through their day? And if they're believers, Lord, will you help them to know you better and to follow your plan? If they're not saved, Lord, will you please save them?" And I know there's times where Paul would say about somebody, "Well, he's done me much evil. The Lord's going to get him." Alexander the coppersmith was one of those. But let's leave that part to the Lord. The last thing this morning, we'll do this quickly, is in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Well, how would you describe this one? I will describe this one as the seemingly insignificant but significant command. Why does it matter that we give thanks? Why does it matter that we're a thankful people? Why does it matter that we're willing? Well, number one, people that don't know the Lord, they're not thankful. Romans 1:21 says that the people, they knew who God was, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. We've just been going through 2 Timothy chapter 3. "Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come." One of those things that make it dangerous times or that people will be unthankful. So people that don't know the Lord are unthankful. And really, if we have the Lord in our right spot, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Us being a thankful people, Jesus emphasized the importance of being thankful. When He healed the 10 lepers, you remember the 10 lepers coming to Jesus? He said, "What do you want me to do?" "Go your way, show yourself to the priest, and then you can go in and see your families," or whatever. As they started to go, they started to see that the leprosy was going away. They were getting more excited. They were making bigger and better and better and better plans. They were so excited. 9 of the 10 of them kept going toward the priest. One of them, though, he was a what? Samaritan. He came back and he said to the Lord, "Lord, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for healing me." Jesus made a point of it. He said, "But where are the other 9? Why did they not show?" It's a right thing for us to be thankful. And may I just say, just in kind of closing, we need to be thankful to those that are around us. One speaker said this, and it's stayed with me all these years. He said, be willing to thank others for the least grace or kindness shown. You children that are here, do you thank mom or dad for taking you around? Someone makes a meal for you. Do you say, thank you, it's great? Do you say kind words to people who help you out? Do we show appreciation for others? Sometimes, and there's different reasons, sometimes we just get other things on our minds. And I'm not trying to dismiss being unthankful, but sometimes that's what happens, and we need to have being thankful on our mind. Another reason I think people are unthankful is this: entitlement. We think we deserve it. Well, of course they're nice to me. I am me. Of course they're nice to me. Entitlement says, I deserve. Gratitude says, I receive. One closes the hand, the other opens the heart. Corrie Ten Boom and her wife, and her, not wife, her older sister Betsy, they were taken to a Nazi concentration camp. And when they were taken, they were able to take the, amazingly, they were able to take their Bibles. When they got to the concentration camp, they were not separated. They were put into the same barrack kind of place. And they began to grumble a little bit. And Corrie said to her, so how in the world are we going to make it through this? And Betsy chimed up and says, well, our Bible reading from this morning is going to help with how we're going to get through this. Guess what they read? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Well, how are we going to give thanks for being here? Well, we could bring our Bible, Betsy said. We're together, Betsy said. Something I haven't mentioned yet is that that particular barracks was infested with fleas. I hate fleas. But it was infested with fleas. And she says, well, how are we going to give thanks to God for the fleas? Well, later on, they found out that the guards would visit the other barracks to take advantage of the women, but they never would go into their barracks. Why? They didn't want the fleas. They wouldn't go near the fleas. The fleas kept them away. So there's a reason that we can be thankful for the fleas. So, this morning, I encourage us, command us, the Lord does, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're counting your blessings, if it just changes your outlook. So this morning, these three commands, I hope that we will make these hours this month, and I hope it'll change. If we need something changed about, if in Sunday school we talked about an attitude adjustment, let's watch our hearts. Let's watch our hearts this week, this month. If we need an attitude adjustment, well, with the Lord's help, let's adjust that attitude. What one writer said, rejoicing and prayer are things that we, and I think giving thanks too, are things that we need to cultivate. They're things that we need to work into our lives that's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take, if you're a grumpy, if you're an Eeyore, nothing ever goes good. It's going to take work to change that heart attitude. It's going to take dependence on the Lord and thoughtfulness to pray. And then thoughtfulness to give thanks. Let's pray. Father, help us to be rejoicing, to be praying, and to be a thankful people. And I pray, Father, however you've spoken to our hearts this morning, that we would not let that go away, but that we would be willing to be changed. If there's some here today that need Jesus as Savior, that you'd help them to come to know Christ as Savior this day. We commit this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If the Lord spoke to you, and I reckon he would have, about at least one of those areas, I hope that you will not let that go, but that you will commit that to the Lord, even as we give our concluding hymn, which is, I think, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And so I hope that we will be those people that are rejoicing, that we'll remind ourselves this week of that. Jared.
And can we do the first two verses of that? Thank you. Dismissed in God's loving care.